where the left lane is also blocked. Alan Carr, 96.5 The Fan traffic.
You're listening to the all-new 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. KFNZ FM and AM, HD1 and HD2 Kansas City, an Odyssey Sports Station.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan. Damn glad to have you on a Friday. Can't wait. Had to reschedule the oil change. It's today at 3 o'clock. Bummer.
Why do you have to reschedule it for today?
I had like a notification on my phone that said fraud activity.
Oh, it's so bad, dude.
You think your anxiety's bad? I was like, what?
Yeah, it's bad, man. My wife got scammed. My daughter just got scammed, and I mean, she doesn't even do anything. Like,
right.
it's really, really bad out there. I'll give you guys a little tip that I use right now to try to avoid all this stuff. Mm. I don't know if every phone company and your carrier does all this, but mine does. I don't know if yours does or the other guys or whatever phone you have. But there's a feature on my phone. I think it was with the iPhone, where if you're not in my phone, the phone just doesn't ring, and it just goes straight to voicemail.
Okay.
So you see like all these spam calls and whatnot that come in, and I probably have missed phone calls, and maybe I missed $1 million from a prince or something like that I was supposed to receive for a social security number change or whatever the case may be. But I've put that feature on my phone, and I don't get bombarded by the spam or any of that anymore. And I don't even really respond to emails anymore. I don't necessarily respond to text messages. I don't really respond to phone calls unless it's from somebody I know, because there is so much junk out there. I mean, my wife got scammed by one of the big national banks out there, not the bank, but somebody using their phone number showed up. $3,000 stolen from us because of that. So it's bad, bro. Like, don't even answer your phone unless you know who it is.
You like Jerry Seinfeld?
I do like Jerry Seinfeld a lot. And we're going to be giving away tickets all next week to go see Jerry Seinfeld and Jim Gaffigan down at T-Mobile Center on January 18th. Got my tickets. Excited about that. Mm. That's a good duo. Jerry Seinfeld and Jim Gaffigan every day next week. At this time, 8 o'clock, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to go see them in January.
All right, fire me up some NFL music as we get into what we love every week, which is the script. Bob, you want me to go first, or would you like to go first?
You can go first.
Okay. We've been kind of accurate, not completely accurate, so, it's kind of like not being superstitious, just a little stitious. As I can tell you, with my script, the Chiefs will win. I will get that out of the way. First off, the Chiefs will win.
And that's it. Scene.
Sure, yeah. Rashee Rice has a typical Rashee Rice game. Somewhere along the lines of 6-7 catches for 75-plus yards. I also think that Rashee Rice could have a chance to score a touchdown. He probably will have a touchdown.
Okay.
I think that Kareem Hunt will score in the first half. He was, as of yesterday, plus 220 to score. Prop numbers weren't up there.
220 just an anytime touchdown.
Anytime touchdown, Kareem Hunt, plus 220.
Oh, I think you got to hit that.
I mean, there's a chance. I think he gets it in the first half as a welcome back to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
And why not do it with two middle fingers to the Los Angeles Chargers? I think Patrick Mahomes gets out of his head, like they had said on, Nate Taylor said, I think Patrick Mahomes throws for 250-plus. And I think Travis Kelce will get back to his typical Travis Kelce game because he eats and pries on the Los Angeles Chargers defense. I think Travis Kelce has somewhere along the lines of 6-for-70 and a touchdown. I think Justin Herbert will play. I think he plays, but I don't think he finishes. I think the defense will have 3-plus sacks. And I think the final score, Bob, will be the Chiefs 30, Chargers 16.
Okay, I can get along with that one as well. All right, here's what I've got in the script this week. Chiefs and Chargers will kick off in L.A., and the Chargers will have players missing. I don't know who it's going to be, but we're setting the tone. The Chargers are not going to be playing at full strength today. You can hear Jim Nance and Tony Romo, look out! And we'll have like maybe a missing tackle, maybe a missing quarterback. Obviously, Derwin James is not going to play in that game. So we're already going to have the folks out there with the narrative, oh, the Chiefs catch every break in the world, right? Kansas City will kick off as they do every game to start the game. Chargers will move down the field. You know it's a bend but don't break defense, right? The Chargers will move down the field and probably come away with an early lead, whether it's 7-0 or 3-0, they'll get early points. The Chiefs will get the ball, and Kareem Hunt or Travis Kelce will get featured a lot on that first drive.
Mm.
But, my friend, as Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friend, The Chiefs will also try to air it out because the narrative has been they don't throw deep anymore. We went over those Patrick Mahomes numbers. Todd McShay is saying that nonsense. I think the Chiefs are going to open it up and they're going to throw deep on that first drive. First half, it's going to be close. Chiefs will get a twofer at the end of the half and beginning of the second half. They'll get like a field goal or touchdown right before halftime, receive the kickoff, go down, and open up a two-score lead. Travis Kelce will be a beast in the second half. He'll have 7 receptions on the day. He'll score a big-time touchdown. Chiefs win 34-17, and then the national fans will complain somehow about the referees, even though they're not going to have an impact on the game.
It's weird. It's like you're kind of listening to me more and more these days. I think the excuses are always going to be there, no matter how the Chiefs win or lose.
Well, it's been there for all three weeks. It's stupid. Yeah. Like it's one thing if it really was an issue, but when the owner's wife is calling out fans, that's how you know it's gotten to a point of nonsense. Because, you know, the owner's wives don't do a lot of, you know, chirping and whatnot. And Tavia came out this week, and I'm like, she may have had the best response to every troll that's out there saying, the Chiefs had 2 penalties called against them on the final drive for the Falcons to enable them to move down the field. And those were phantom penalties. So round of applause, Tavia. Way to go after it this week on social media and say what we were all thinking. The Falcons were the ones who benefited. They just didn't take advantage of their opportunities, right? I think we've all been given opportunities in our life. Some you take advantage of, some you don't. The Falcons had 2 opportunities at the end, and they didn't take advantage of those opportunities. So that people want to spin it and blame the Chiefs for not getting a call on a pass interference in the end zone when they had another play to run after that and another drive that was enabled by 2 Chiefs penalties. Enough with the narrative that the referees are helping the Chiefs, because so far this season, they have not.
Mm. 2 things. One, we are live on the cameras.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we are. You can go to 965 The Fan. You can subscribe to the YouTube page, Twitch, streaming devices, however you want to do it. You can see our red and blue on the camera. It looks kind of nice.
Yeah.
As we both celebrate the arrival of the playoffs, that is the Royals that will be going to the playoffs. Their magic number is 1. Chiefs will play Sunday at 325. And thanks to James and Cody for getting that working.
There you go.
Those are my 2 things. So applaud yourselves on the back.
Mm-hmm. Applaud yourselves on the back, or pat yourselves on the back, right?
Yeah. Well, you're clapping your back. That's not what I should have said. That's got to go. Do better, Dusty. No, you do mention that national narrative that it may not just be, you know, there's 2 basically national narratives with the Chiefs. There is obviously the one that is, well, the Chiefs are getting every play, getting every call. That's why they're 3-0. The media wants the Chiefs to be good because Taylor Swift, yada, yada, yada.
What? Wait, I just want to go back to that. Right. Those calls. Which calls have they benefited from? Yes, they missed the Brian Cook pass interference penalty.
Mm-hmm.
But there was another play and an entire other drive on that.
Well, you know.
So what did I miss in the Baltimore game? What did I miss in the Bengal game?
I don't know. The calls that went the Chiefs' way, they actually benefited from because they took advantage.
That's right.
Is what you're missing.
I guess that
they're missing.
Just take the Raven game. The guy was out of bounds. Like, enough with revisionist history that Isaiah Likely came down in bounds.
Well, they call false start on that left tackle too many times, as if that hasn't happened to the Chiefs.
Yeah. I mean, look at Detroit last year. Right. Chiefs didn't take advantage of that opportunity because of Kadrapius.
Mm-hmm. And then the new national narrative is that maybe they're just boring.
I think the more damning thing with the Kansas City Chiefs, and is the thing that's going to make people turn on them, is that the Kansas City Chiefs are just kind of not fun to watch anymore. Yeah. I find myself as a guy who doesn't really have an NFL team. I'm a neutral observer. I just want to be entertained by the football I'm watching. But boy, it's just a lot of dinking and dunking. You have one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, and he's just like hitting like wide receiver screens and like slant patterns, and it's good football, I guess, and you're winning, and it's like, I don't know, as a neutral observer, I'm like, I'm not enjoying watching the Chiefs like I used to watch them, which is going to make me turn on them, because I feel the feeling swelling up inside me that I'm going to, by like week 9, be screaming at the TV, this team isn't even that good.
Okay,
then they are that good, though, because they keep winning games. They're just not winning games the way that you want them to win games. And he's not wrong when he talks about the Mahomes numbers, right? Mahomes this year is averaging 5 yards average on the depth of a target, right? And I know that's a little bit geeky, but that means quick passes. Get the ball out. Get the ball to your playmakers. Do it. His first year in the league in 2018, when he was a full-time starter, it was 9.1 yards per average depth of target. They were going deep. They were going over the top. They had Tyreek Hill. They had Sammy Watkins. They had speed. They had Travis Kelce. Now they've got wide receivers that are great with the ball in their hand, that do great things after they catch it. So that's what they've spun their offense to. He doesn't have to throw the ball downfield. He doesn't need to wait for Tyreek Hill to run 40 yards and then loft it up in the air and go, ooh, yay, everybody, that's a pretty play. He's got a guy named Rashee Rice who leads the league in yak. So get him the ball as soon as he can and let him do what he does best, and that's run with the football. Xavier Worthy is the exact same way. And with defenses having the talent that they are right now, so many talented players on the defensive side of the football, right? Huge talent on the defensive side of the football on every team now. Your offensive line isn't holding up on any team right now to allow the defense and watch guys run down the field. So as these guys are blitzing and coming forward, you're getting the ball to Rashee Rice quick. Poop, he's running right by him. Touchdown.
What are the expectations for the three? We explain who the three are on the other side. Bob Fesco, James, Dusty with you here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
All right, guys, I want you to listen up here, and I want you to take some real consideration about what I'm going to say, because if you're suffering from erectile dysfunction, we may have the help for you. Heartland Men's Health has treatments when the pills or herbals fail, and ED causes an emotional toll on relationships, and it impacts a man's confidence and self-esteem, which are true tragedies of erectile dysfunction. If you want to try to get over that, we've got the opportunity for you to help yourself. Over at Heartland Men's Health, they have treatments with success rates well over 90%. Some treatments can even have you last an hour or even more, and they have treatments that work when the pills or herbals fail. Heartland Men's Health is successfully treating men right here in Kansas City. So I want you to schedule a consultation with them today. Your initial visit is just $99 and includes a medical consult with a licensed medical provider, a T and PSA test, and if medically advised, a test dose. And if that test dose doesn't work in the office, your visit is free. Plus, they have an expert staff on hand, and if you're like a lot of men, you could be having sex the day after your appointment. They have three locations to serve you: Overland Park, Independence between Blue Springs and Lee Summit, and their new office in North Kansas City. So call them today. Don't wait any longer. 844-447-6600 or visit heartlandmenshealth.com.
Brought to you by Blue KC is the Coaches with Character program. Do you know a rock star high school coach in your district? Nominate them for the Blue KC Coaches with Character program at bluekc.com/nominate coaches with character. Let's make our coaches feel special and make our community a better place to live, work, and play.
All right, we're back online. Back on the cameras, on the X. You can subscribe to the page. Like I said, if we get 100 subscribers, our boss has to buy us lunch.
That's right. Every day that we get 100 subscribers, he has to buy us lunch.
Yeah.
So we get 100 today, he buys us lunch today. We get 100 on Monday, he buys 100 on Monday. And we know you don't like Spectre, so spite subscribe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when we go to lunch, we go to the most expensive places and order the most expensive thing on the menu.
Somebody says, I missed your guys' take on the Royals being one game away. Regardless, love the show. We'll get back into the Royals.
Yeah, we got a podcast, too, though. They're all up, right? You can grab a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we will get into the Royals, but, you know, got two. That's the best part about, which I want to hit on real quick. This is the best part about being in Kansas City right now, is that I'm happy to not be able to please everyone. Mm-hmm. Because some of you want nonstop Royals action. Some of you want nonstop Chiefs action. And for me, I love being Stretch Armstrong on both sides of those takes.
And some of you want nonstop NBA talk.
No. They don't want that. But no, like that's the best part about it. And like, that's what we were trying to gear people up for, is that, you know, in 14, the Chiefs weren't, you know, going really deep into the playoffs.
No, they were
15,
not.
Same thing. Yeah. They were still waiting. We're waiting for the Patrick Mahomes
15,
arrival.
You may remember the Chiefs started 1-5.
And then ran off.
And then ran off and won 11 straight.
That's right. And now you have a perfect world where when the Chiefs were great, the Royals were terrible, and now the Royals are playing playoff baseball. The Chiefs are getting ready to go for a three-peat, and we get to sit back and enjoy the whole hellhole of a thing.
You know, we've never
lived. I didn't say any English there.
I don't know what that was.
just rolling through. My tongue sometimes goes too fast.
But we've never been. I'm just going to leave Michael Scott out of that one. I think what we are looking at, though, Dusty, is a situation that nobody has ever been in before, mm-hmm. where you have both teams in the postseason at the exact same time, both teams dominating their sport at mm-hmm. the exact same time. Yeah, you know, the Royals had the World Championship in 15, but like we said, I remember it distinctly, the day the Royals won the championship, waking up in my hotel room in Flushing, Queens, getting ready to go to the ball game, and I remember talking, I think it was to Binkley, maybe, or whoever was doing the Sunday morning show. It had to be Binkley. I don't know if it was, because Binkley was in New York, but whatever mm-hmm. it was, right? Waking up and waking, by the time I woke up that morning, it was already halftime of the Chiefs game, because they were playing that Lions team in London that day. Mm-hmm. It was the day of the London game where they played the Lions, and they won that game, and that was the start of their 11-game winning streak, right? And they went on and won a bunch of games and won their first playoff game in 30 years that year. I'm like, all right, cool. The Royals just won the World Series, and the Chiefs eked into the playoffs. That's cool. But now we're sitting in a world that none of us have ever experienced before. Mm-hmm. The Royals aren't eking into the playoffs. They're a playoff team. We expect them to clinch as early as today. The Chiefs are going for a three-peat, and at this time of the year, we've never had that. We've never had a baseball playoff team and a football team that people were like dying the wool for, because the last two times we had that, the Chiefs were just a mid type of team, right? It was before mm-hmm. Mahomes and yeah. Andy Reid and all this stuff took off. I know Andy was here, but before him and Mahomes were together.
Right.
And so we've never been in this world where everybody wants to talk Royals, or everybody wants to talk Chiefs, or everybody wants to talk a little. So we're trying to do our best, you know, to talk about both of the organizations. But we're new at this, too. We're all wet behind the ears, because we've never lived in a world where the Royals were going to the playoffs and the Chiefs were, you know, the best thing we've ever seen. And Taylor Swift was involved, right? You got a baseball team going to the playoffs. You got a football team going for a three-peat. And the biggest pop star in the universe lives in Kansas City. Like, it's just bizarre when you think about what world we're living in right now.
No doubt. The world we're living in right now is that Kareem Hunt is back with the Kansas City Chiefs. We had Mitch Holtis on earlier. If you missed it, check it out on the podcast. But this is what he said for Kareem Hunt expectations.
Someone who will be part of that team is Kareem Hunt. And I'm interested to know what maybe your expectations are after, you know, kind of watching him in practice and kind of getting to see where he's at this point in his career.
I think there's enough there to help out. We're going to be wrong if we think it's going to be 2017 Kareem Hunt and half of 2018. But there's enough there and what he provides to be valuable. It's still going to be running back by committee or algebraic quadratic equation, whatever analogy you want to make. But if he becomes then a third part of this, because P. Ryan is still going to be a part of it, so is Carson Steele. And so, but there's enough there. Can you get a 6 yards? Can you burst through and maybe get a 12-yard gain and get a first down? A coach told me yesterday, and I thought it was really well put, all three of those guys are going to be moving forward. All of them. All of them are able to get yards after contact and do so on a regular basis. So I think Kareem he's that same guy. And so I think there's going to be value there, but I wouldn't necessarily put him on your fantasy team.
Yeah, and that's kind of the expectation we all thought when they originally acquired Kareem. I wouldn't put any running back for the Chiefs on my fantasy team right now.
Right. No, I mean, well, yeah, you would. You'd have Rashee Rice on that fantasy.
No, running back.
Oh, well, I mean, depending on what Carson Steele can do, he might get you 80 in a touchdown. Yeah,
maybe. But, I mean, I think they're just going to rotate these guys in. I do. Like, keep everybody fresh. There's no really – like, you don't really have a feature running back. Carson Steele's been here for 5 seconds, right? Like, he's not a feature running back. So you go and you utilize these guys in a rotation, like you do with the defensive line. You keep guys fresh. Mm-hmm. You keep their legs ready to go. So when you get late in the game and late in the season, you don't have all this wear and tear on these guys. So that's how I would do it if I was Andy. And I probably think that's how they're going to do it. I don't think there's going to be one featured back. It's going to be a running back by committee, as they like to say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're looking at high expectations in a realistic world for Kareem Hunt.
No.
Like Mitch had said, like the addition, and like Nate Taylor had said, like having him on this team to, you know, kind of help in that department is great. And like I said, I think the most you see from him is maybe a total of anywhere between 5 and 10 touches, whether that's four, you know, handoffs and four, you know, receptions. Maybe that's way too high on receptions, but I look at him to be your third down guy, third and two, third and three. You can swing him out in the flat. You can, you know, curl him over the top. You can give him a little handoff and let him get those 3 to 4 yards. But my expectations for Hunt are to just be a valuable option on this offense. Be able to go in there when your number's called, which will be 29 for those of you looking for him on the field. And, you know, do what you're supposed to do. Be a piece.
Right. Be an option.
The puzzle is the three-peat. Everybody plays a part in that puzzle. Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback. That's why running backs are, you know, even Isaiah Pacheco, who was well enough to be a fantasy option because he just always seemed to find the end zone. Plus, he was getting 20 touches a game, whether those were 15 handoffs and 5 receptions. But that's the reason that none of these guys are Isaiah Pacheco. But none of these guys are Royals that were Vinny Pasquantino, right? Mm-hmm. Robbie Grossman, Paul DeYoung, Tommy Pham, all those guys, none of them were Vinny Pasquantino. But little of those, each guy's talents together can kind of give you what was Vinny Pasquantino's production, which is tough to make up because he was an RBI leader in the American League.
Right.
Just like with this Chiefs running back field with, you know, when Clyde Edwards-Helaire returns, Kareem Hunt, Samaje Perine,
Carson
Steele.
That's right. We're getting
Steele.
Him back. Is this week four?
This is week four.
Next week, he's eligible to come back week five. And they're very confident he's coming back.
Right.
Yeah.
And all those guys together, with what they can bring, can give you the closest thing to maybe an Isaiah Pacheco. Kareem Hunt can be better than Carson Steele in the passing game. Carson Steele can be that hard pounding running back up the middle, that type of Pacheco running back. You're not going to have IP, but you can put a bunch of guys together that can equal up to maybe the closest thing you would have if you were to be there.
And I'm fine with that. I think in football, it's okay to have three or four guys equal one. At baseball, it's harder to do, right? Because you want that big bat, you know, when it's crunch time, you know you can count on Vinny. Mm-hmm. But I think with this type of situation, I think all three of these running backs, and I think Clyde, once he comes back, gives you four guys that you can truly rely on. You know, Perine's a veteran. Obviously, Steele has proven that he's a guy. He had the one fumble, but big deal. Everybody fumbles. You know, Kareem Hunt has been in this league for a long time and has a track record. And then you've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming back. And Perine, like I said, you've got four guys that can truly give you what you need. But four guys can do it and also take rests and have the ability to get their legs back and not take the wear and tear and have to be out there for every single play. The Kareem Hunt injury may turn out to be one of those blessings in disguise where we look may turn out to be one of those blessings in disguise where we look back at the end of the year and we go, man, look what that injury allowed the Chiefs to do. They allowed Carson Steele to grow. They allowed Perine to kind of be a veteran leader. They allowed Kareem Hunt to come back and, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire to come back and get valuable carries and really work themselves back into what we're looking at here is an offense that's going to need all of these guys once January rolls around. Once we get to the point of that season where it's cold and it's rough and the hits feel harder and whatnot, you're going to have a lot of fresh guys at that running back position. You're not just relying on one guy. You're truly going to have that five-headed monster. So that's what I'm excited about.
All right, let's get into our cover two as we do every Friday, what we are covering this weekend, whether it is the Chiefs, whether it is the NFL. Bob, I went first in the script, so why don't you go first when it comes to the cover two?
All right, the first one I'm going to be looking at is Jacksonville. For whatever reason, I'm very intrigued on how they're going to respond to getting motorboated the other day against the Buffalo Bills. I think it's a big game for Trevor Lawrence. I think it's an even bigger game for Doug Peterson. If he doesn't want to come back to Kansas City and be an assistant coach at some point in time, he needs to figure these things out in Jacksonville. And so I'm going to be interested to see, because they had the worst loss of week three, losing by 37 to the Bills. In the last 20 years, teams that lose by 30 or more points and are underdogs of four or more the next game are 89-50-3 against the spread. Usually a team that gets their ass handed to them bounces back the next week. I'm going to see if Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson have that ability. Doug Peterson wouldn't even go as far to say that Trevor Lawrence is the starting quarterback. So it's a mess already down in Jacksonville, but it's not what you do, it's how you get back up. And so I want to see what Jacksonville is able to do this weekend. The other thing that I'm going to be watching, Wanye Morris. We all praise Wanye, right? Had a great game at left tackle last week. Did amazing things. We love what he did. Now can you do it against a pretty good defense in the Chargers? Obviously, a lot of good Chargers defensive linemen. Khalil Mack's going to be there. Hopefully, Bosa is out and is not going to be part of this to make it a little bit easier on him. But I'm going to be watching Wanye Morris this week to see if he takes that next step, plays as well, or if he regresses a little bit. I think a lot of people are going to be watching Wanye Morris as well.
Wanye, yes.
My cover two is a little different. Right now, we're going to find out who's going to hold the Intercontinental title. Who's the next man up? Who's the number one contender? And I think that answer comes on Sunday night. Sunday Night Football is going to be electric. It is the Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo will go to Maryland and play the Ravens on Sunday Night Football. So a big road test for the Bills. Josh Allen carries the MVP crown as of right now in the NFL. Can he hold on to it as he goes and visits last year's MVP?
Is this their first real test? Because Buffalo had Arizona, and then they had Jacksonville.
No, they had Arizona, Miami, and then Jacksonville. Remember.
Yeah, so they haven't really been tested
in
yet.
In Miami, that was when their season took a toll.
Right.
But no, so Buffalo will go to Baltimore. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, a good defense finally for Josh Allen to kind of see if this offense, this new revamped offense is going to be good under, I believe it's Joe Brady, and see if they can really put this thing in motion. If Buffalo goes into Baltimore and does exactly what they did to Jacksonville or does what they did to Miami or, you know, shows that they can play elite football, Buffalo is the number one contender. If Baltimore can continue to do what they've done since they've lost to the Chiefs and the Raiders, which they had that game against Dallas, whatever, 1 week. But if they can be that team where they're just going to lean on Lamar Jackson to create everything in the offense and then go into Zay Flowers, because Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely have been nowhere since week one. Mm-hmm. Isaiah Likely had a big game against the Chiefs and then has kind of drifted back to reality. But I'm looking at this game as like, who is that team? I don't know if Houston's it yet. I need to see more.
All of a sudden, the bloom has fallen off the rose of Houston for a lot of people, I feel like.
A lot of people, maybe. But look, I want to see more in this second season, the sophomore year of C.J. Stroud. It's always a tough year unless you are like a guy like Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, guys like that, sure. Josh Allen. But if you are that team and you want to continue to be that team, you got to kind of show that you can, you know, play with the big guns.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, Buffalo, Baltimore, a big shot at who's the number one contender to the Kansas City Chiefs. And if Baltimore wins, which I think we are all hoping for, you have tiebreaker over them. They would have tiebreaker over Buffalo. And then you'll get your chance at Buffalo later on the season when they get their Super Bowl against the Chiefs.
Super Bowl, yeah.
The other cover, the second part of the cover, too, that I'm looking at is which quarterback that's kind of surprised the league in the first 3 weeks comes back down to earth. I'm looking at Derek Carr. I'm looking at Sam Darnold, Kyler Murray, Geno Smith, and Baker Mayfield. Baker had a not-so-good game last week against Denver.
Terrible game,
man. Just
were
out-coached. It just looked like it was a bad mashup from the word go. Baker Mayfield kind of gave people some questions like, maybe we were a little early on Baker.
Bo Nix showing that he's him.
Okay. And, you know, Geno Smith's been good. Seattle's 3-0. Geno Smith has been very underrated this year.
Very boring.
Which, yeah, maybe.
The Tim Duncan of football.
Could be. And I think that we'll see from Derek Carr, Sam Darnold, Kyler Murray, Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, those types of names, which one of those guys is really kind of, you know, fitting the narrative of maybe somebody that we are and should be a little bit higher on that we're not. Sam Darnold's been great so far. Derek Carr and the Saints look like they have a great offense rolling over there in New Orleans.
Except last week.
It was down.
Yeah.
But again, this is another week. This is week four. This is, you know, close to a quarter of the season.
Yeah.
This is where we're going to start to see guys where, will these quarterbacks that have been riding high in the cover two so far been doing their job, or can they continue? Or will we see these guys that have been kind of overlooked because it's been a down season, like Mahomes and, you know, Lamar Jackson and all these guys, and everyone's like, well, their numbers aren't as great as they've been in the past. Will those numbers come up? Because we'll see. We'll see which quarterbacks come back down to earth, and we'll see which quarterbacks come back into the limelight of, okay, we were too early on this. It's only been 3 weeks. Week four showed us that these guys are actually still these guys.
Of those five that you mentioned, Darnold is the one I believe in most right now. Mm-hmm. Carr probably comes in second. Geno third, Baker fourth, and Kyler kind of fifth on that list. The Baker one's going to be interesting, too, because, you know, can he handle the adversity of losing that football game last week to Bo Nix, right? You got to bounce back, Baker. But Sam Darnold just has an unbelievable season. I really like what they're doing up in Minnesota right now. So that's going to be a fun one to watch. He's got those great weapons, too. I think Sam Darnold puts together a really good season. At the end of the year, we're like, damn, Sam Darnold was a good quarterback.
Yep. That is this week's cover two.
You want to hear Mitch Holthus take a shot at Todd McShay?
Sure.
Who doesn't, right? Hey, can you turn on my computer?
Uh-oh.
So we live in the world of an easy or lazy narrative that gets lots of reaction. That's when you ding the bell, right? If I can give some lazy, crazy, inaccurate narrative, but I get everybody all fired up. Todd McShay usually does his homework when it comes to the draft time, usually. This one, just to poke the needle and poke the bear, whatever, to move, push the needle, is ridiculous. Travis Kelce has played, he's closing in on 7,000 snaps over the past, 7 years. I've watched him this summer. I watched him in training camp. I'll see him in practice, where the guy just is a workhorse. I don't get where he's distracted. I don't get where he's fat or whatever, McShay, all the stuff he said. Like, it's just ridiculous. But if I can get all the Swifties fired up and I can get all the Chiefs Kingdom fired up by saying something lazy and ridiculous, then watch this. And that's the world we're living in, and it's somewhat troubling.
I mean, I can't disagree with a thing that Mitch has to say there about Travis Kelce and Todd McShay. It is the easy narrative. And that's what you get now when you watch these shows on TV or listen to national radio or whatever the case may be. When you listen to people that aren't there every day like we are, right, with this team and follow this team closely, they just look at ancillary stuff and go, well, Travis Kelce isn't producing, only has 69 yards receiving this year, so he must be fat and out of shape. Like, that was the narrative that Todd McShay was running with this week. And I find it to be just irresponsible and a very bad take. I don't care if the guy played college football. Just because you played a sport doesn't mean you know the sport. And that take by Todd McShay tells me he really doesn't know that much about football.
Well, I think he's just also trying to have like some sort of like, you know, hot take, I guess.
But have a good hot take.
Well, I mean, that's good for everybody outside of Kansas City,
I guess.
Right? I mean, he's just not trying to feed into the fandom that is the city. He's trying to get people that make sure he's still relevant. He's trying to make sure
and
that
you nailed it, because he's not right on the four-letter network anymore.
Right, and he's just trying to, you know, get numbers. And look, we spent 2.5 days talking about Todd McShay. Why? Yeah. Because his take was terrible in Kansas City. Some people outside are like, you know what? He's right. He is kind of out of shape. He is not the same Travis Kelce. You know what that happens? You go on to Los Angeles this weekend and just two middle finger to everybody in the world and be like, hey, here I am, 7 for 88 and a touchdown.
That's right. Now let's what? Do it. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they will be that petty, but I would love to see that. That's my hope and my wish, mm-hmm, is to kind of see that kind of come forward. And if they're not, and they're 4-0 and Rashee Rice has another 6 for 88 and a touchdown, and, you know, Carson Steele has 12 rushes for 79 yards and Patrick Mahomes throws for 265.
And they win 22-17.
Cool.
Great.
They're 4-0.
Right.
You know what narrative they control? The number one seed AFC championship goes through Arrowhead, and all of a sudden Patrick Mahomes plays for his third consecutive Super Bowl.
Right.
I don't care if you're fat, skinny, or morbidly obese. You win 4 straight in the season, you win your 10th straight in a row, and you're setting yourself up for the number one seed. Be boring.
And
I don't care.
And you've beaten legitimately 4 competitors. The number one competitor in your division, a competitor in the NFC in Atlanta, and arguably 2 of the 3 biggest competitors in the AFC to start the season. Like, I hate to kind of continue to bring this back to, you know, winning is all that matters, but it is. It's all that matters. And the fact of the matter is, we've got players on our team that understand winning is all that matters. And you're not going to hear them complain about numbers. You're not going to hear them complain about stats. You're not going to hear them complain about not getting the ball enough. Hey, did we win the game? Great. 4-0, move on. Let's get ready for a Monday night game against the New Orleans Saints.
No doubt about it. Fesco and Dusty's rolling along. We come back, we talk about your Royals. But first, we tell you who is brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. For all of you that have missed Royals conversations, you can always go back and listen on the podcast, but we bring back those Royals for you, those playoff-bound Royals, here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Well, I'll tell you what, the age-old question in Kansas City, you know, you ask it every day. Where are we going to park? No matter where you're going, that's the first thing you ask. I'm here to solve that for you when you go to the airport. When you're flying out of KCI, you're going to park at Parking Go. Number one, all their spots are covered parking, so your car is never going to be exposed to the elements, right? You're good to go. It's protected. Everybody's happy. Number two, you're going to make your reservation at Parking Go the easy way at bookparkinggo.com. And do it after you make your flight reservation. You know you're flying. You got to have that parking spot, so reserve it that day and then prepay for it, because that's when you're going to save money, when you prepay at bookparkinggo.com. Then on the day of your flight, you show up, you give them the reservation number, they've got the spot reserved for you. As soon as you pull into that spot, the van meets you and takes you right to the airport terminal. You're there in no time at all, and you're never running around the lot looking for a bus hoping it shows up. And that's the same way when you get back as well. Get off the plane, grab your bags, walk outside. There's the van. It's waiting for you. And I always tell the story. 2:25 in the morning, we got back. The only van in sight was the Park and Go van. So do what I did and join their frequent parker program and earn points towards free parking. Reserve your spot today at bookparkandgo.com. The best deals in parking. Bookparkandgo.com. Park and Go. Family owned and operated.
That the sound of Jake Eisenberg that you could hear on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Royals baseball. They're in action tonight against the Atlanta Braves.
Yep, no weather to worry about. That storm is moving on out.
Nice. Love to see that. As the Royals are a playoff team.
Right.
Yep. Should be a fun time as we are all watching the Kansas City Royals. You can all watch us on our channel on Fesco and Dusty on YouTube, Twitch, YouTube TV, I guess you could do that too.
Yeah.
You could do it on Twitter. You could put your smart TV, whatever you want to do. You can have us on there. Subscribe to the show. We get 100. For every 100 we get a free meal from our boss. So it's kind of like the Book It deal back in the day at Pizza Hut. You read a book, you get a free pan pizza.
But he's not just giving us a small little pan pizza. We're getting whatever we want. So
either way, it'll taste great.
Oh, God, yes. Free food is better than any food. It's like, what's your favorite beer? Free. For our good listener, Steven, who's been listening to the show for years, has subscribed. He sent me the thing on Twitter, so he's subscribed, and he's trying to help us get a free meal from the boss as well.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Steven.
Another thing to look at this weekend is, Maggie Smith died.
Who?
Maggie Smith.
I don't know who that is.
From Harry Potter and Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
The Professor, 89.
Nah, I was never into any of those.
She was also in the Addams Family movies.
Yeah. Huh. Was she Fester?
No.
Oh.
No. There's a hell of a doppelganger of that man around here, I'll tell you that much. Damn near about broke my phone yesterday. Anyways, but the Royals are a playoff team. Their magic number is 1. Minnesota continues to fumble the bag. Detroit gets to play the hot White Sox. Never thought I'd say that in 2024.
But they've won 3 in a row, right? It's more than they won all season.
Hey, they're winning in spite.
Yep.
And
they're pissing their fans off. Like, if you didn't piss your fans off enough by losing 120, they were selling tickets because people wanted to see them break the record,
right,
and they didn't do it.
And you know, you kind of said this weekend will give us a look at like what true playoff baseball can look like.
Yeah, I think it's a better indication of these next 3 games than these last 3 games. You played a Washington Nationals team, it would be like playing, you know, the Marlins or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The Royals took care of business. You keep a losing team losing. Minnesota didn't. That's why they're not going to make the playoffs. Stayed up way too late watching 13 innings of Marlins and Twins last night. But you know what? I'm dialed in. I'm like, are we going to be at a number of 2? Are we going to be at a number of 1? And I mean, like, let's go. And
right,
the Marlins won that game. And, man, the Twins are a depleted team. They're out of the playoffs. So let's go clinch this thing tonight, whether it's another Twins loss or we win. But I think these 3 games are more of an indication on what to expect, the competition we're going to face, the style of baseball we're going to play, than these last 3 games against the Washington Nationals. You did what you had to do. You took care of business. You kept a losing team losing. Now you got 3 big ones that are going to get you ready for the postseason.
I thought the National Series was a real good indication of what a playoff team should look like for us as a Royals team, for a Royals city, for a Royals, you know, channel here on 96.5 The Fan. I thought the way that they played, knowing that they were never out of it, per se. I know the Washington Nationals aren't really the best. I know yours is like the Braves are a playoff team-ish, and they're going to be competitive. They have a good rotation. See how you can play against that.
But I think it was the mental side, Dusty, with Washington, when you went 18 or however many innings without scoring a run.
Right, 27.
Yeah.
27 or 28 innings without scoring a run, but like, You played the right matchups. You went lefty, lefty, lefty out of the bullpen, then you let your closer, Irsa, come in there and finish the game.
Mm-hmm.
The next night, very similar, right? I think you won 3-0.
Yeah,
used good pitching. Reagan's wasn't the first game. Reagan's wasn't all that, you know, what, you know, Matt Cotrero said. He was like, he wasn't his best stuff, but it was still good, which is scary, crazy scary. And then yesterday,
that's like saying Patrick Mahomes, like Reagan's and Mahomes kind of in that same category. Yeah.
And then yesterday, you had a game in which you got out to a 4-run lead. You were down twice.
Mm-hmm.
And or you were down once. It was 1-0 Nationals. You came back, rallied, got up 4-1. Then the game was tied after a 3-run homer.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, watching it when we got home, I was kind of just like, damn, that sucks.
Yeah.
At least it's only tied. And then you came back and won, and it was unsung heroes that helped you with that, right? Like, it was Adam Frazier who put you up by 2, then Salvador Perez kind of put the cherry on top of the cake with a 7-4 lead. But you won an extra innings where your offense was, you know, non-existent, and your pitcher was good. The next game you won, a classic baseball game, 3-0, get in, get out, how you doing? And then last night or yesterday, you won a game in which, you know, you had some adversity. You gave up a 3-run homer from Michael Wacha, who's your, you know, veteran leader in the rotation, and you still somehow rallied, didn't let it affect you. You won three games out of three games. You swept. You put yourself in that much more control of a wild card spot, and you're going to play playoff baseball, and now you're going to spearhead the playoff baseball with a three-man rotation that I would take over any rotation in the American League. That's not biased. That's just so hard facts. I would take the Royals three-man front over anybody in the AL, and you're going to add a superstar and a guy that's a captain who's been in plenty of playoff baseball games because it was 14, 15 years, and in 15, he was a World Series MVP.
Yeah, and you're looking at a series against the Sale, Fried, and Schwellenbach this weekend down in Atlanta, whatever order they pitch them in, however they decide to do it. I know some people think they may save Sale for that doubleheader on Monday against the Mets, but if you don't win these games against the Royals, you're not going to play that doubleheader against the Mets. That's a bad managerial decision if you're thinking about saving anybody. I always use the example of my grandma. I'm saving it for good. Then she was dead, and all her sweaters still had tags from Lord and Taylor on them that she never wore, that she was saving them for good. You can't save things for good. You've got to go out there and go after it. And so I do expect to see Sale. I expect to see Max Fried tonight. I expect to see Spencer Schwellenbach this weekend as well. Those are three amazing pitchers that the Braves are going to roll out there because they have to win games as well. I'm anxious. I'm excited to see what the Royals are going to do against three potential aces and the style of pitching you're going to see in the postseason against a postseason type team against a good team. I think it's going to be a really, really good indication of what we can expect. I want to see what we saw in the Washington Nationals game. Do it against the Atlanta Braves. Do it against a good team. Take three from the Braves. You take three from the Braves. Holy crap. You talk about momentum going into the postseason. You're winners of six in a row. That seven game losing streak is irrelevant. Your starting pitching is pitching well. Your bullpen's getting guys out. Your offense is coming through with key hits. And you did it against three potential aces. All right, now I think everybody's going to be fearing the Royals.
Not only that, if you want to add a little bit more fear to the league, this is from Annie Rogers, the MLB beat writer for the Kansas City Royals yesterday before the game took off. Vinny Pasquantino is hitting off the pitching machine on the field this morning in D.C. There have been quite a few balls sent over the fence. Pretty incredible progress.
How fast do you dial that that pitching machine up to when you're taking BP?
I bet it's at 88.
You think 88?
Yeah, you know, league average fastball is what, 89, 90 miles per hour?
Yeah.
Right? Maybe not today. It might be like 92 with the spin rate and the way they're throwing it these days. But
right.
Either way, the guy broke his hand like 6 weeks ago, and he's hitting home runs over the fence off a pitching machine.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That means the feel's there. I mean, somebody could throw the ball with their hand.
Has it been 6 weeks already?
I mean, it might be less. I don't know.
I'm trying to, when it had been the end of August, right?
Okay.
Oh, my God, it's been a month already?
Yeah.
Good Lord, and that time went fast.
And he's hitting the ball over the fence off a pitching tee or off a pitching machine.
That's crazy.
I mean, if he comes back by
that's the stuff that you can't, like, there's no numbers for that. Right. That's, again, managing with feel, like I talked about, Q needs to do. If this guy's ready,
throw him out there. He's got all offseason to rest if something goes wrong.
And you know what kind of spark that's going to bring to everybody else in that lineup?
Look at the spark it brought when he just came into the dugout.
I know.
Like when he was back with the team, they've won three straight since.
Yeah, that's managing with feel. If he said, if he looks at Q and goes, I can go, you put him back out there, you let him go, because that lineup is going to get adrenaline. That whole team is going to get adrenaline. That's their guts and glory guy, right? You bring him back into the lineup, man, everybody's going to be feeling good.
No doubt. Good, beautiful morning, guys. Love your show. Listen every day. Today is my birthday. Thank you for beginning my day. Teresa and Shawnee.
Go hey,
Royals.
Teresa.
Let's go Chiefs. Happy birthday to Teresa.
Way to go, kiddo. Happy birthday to you.
Feliz cumpleaños a ti.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, what a great time to be alive, though. We're talking Royals baseball. We're talking Chiefs going for a three-peat, going for a fourth win in a row. Not only that, you'd knock off the first divisional opponent on the record. I don't think you should be afraid of a Gardner Minshew, a Bo Nix, or anything like that. But
Patrick Mahomes is 13-1 on the road straight up in AFC West games. The only loss was last year against Denver when he had the flu. I feel pretty good about our chances.
I'll tweet out some numbers and bring up some numbers about Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes' last four games against the Chargers, and they will absolutely be astonishing. But coming up on the other side, it is Friday. It is Fesco and Dusty, and we do our Richards of the Week.